Steets, we're going to begin worship here in just a minute.
That sounded so wrong. Oh my goodness. Anyways, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, we come to you, we praise you, we worship you. Thank you so much for your faithfulness, your love. God, this is why we meet together. This is why that we continue to gather under your name, because of how great of an awesome Father you are, because of how majestic you are. God, we lift you up, we praise you, and I pray that this morning we can continue to do that in harmony with one another, that we can have an amazing worship service. You speak through everyone who's going to be here on stage, God, and that you just let the Spirit lead, God. Thank you again for just this wonderful community and for everything you continue to do for us. Pray all this in your Son's name. Amen. We're singing Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
Sing Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
How powerful you are.
Singing, Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Hail Jesus, you're my King.
Your life frees me to sing.
Your life frees me to sing.
And I will praise you all my days.
I will praise you all my days.
'Cause you're perfect in all your ways.
You're perfect in all your ways.
Oh, we're singing Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
We're singing Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
How powerful.
Come on now.
You are.
We're singing Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
Hail Jesus, you're my Lord.
I will obey your word.
I will obey your word.
I want to see your kingdom come.
I want to see your kingdom come.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Not my will, but yours be done.
Oh, we're singing Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
We're singing Hail, Hail, Line of Judah.
Hail, Line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
Oh,
we're singing glory, glory to the Lamb.
Glory, glory to the Lamb.
You take me to the Lamb.
You take me to the Lamb.
And we will conquer in your name.
We will conquer in your name.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
And proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Oh, sing hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you
oh,
are.
Oh, sing hail, hail, line of Judah.
Hail, hail, line of Judah.
How powerful you are.
How powerful you
oh,
are.
Oh, we're singing how beautiful you are.
How beautiful you
oh,
are.
Oh, we're singing how glorious you are.
How glorious you
oh,
are.
Oh, we're singing how marvelous you are.
How marvelous you
oh,
are.
Oh, we're singing how powerful you are.
How powerful you are.
Amen. All right, let's go, sisters.
Fill me, Lord, with your spirit and make me like a leader who has a strong army. Fill me, my Lord, I pray. Fill me, Lord.
Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray. Lord, I pray. Pray, fill me, my Lord.
I one more time, ladies. Sing that again. Fill me, Lord.
Fill me, Lord. Lord, I pray. 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 Fill me, my Lord.
Here we go, brother.
Oh, Lord, I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Oh, I need your power to guide me. Oh, I need your spirit to guide me. Fill me, my Lord, I'll pray. Oh, Lord, I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Oh, I need your power to guide me. Oh, I need your spirit to guide me. Fill me, my Lord, I pray.
Here we go, sister.
Lord, I pray. 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 Fill me, my Lord, I pray. 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 Fill me, my Lord. I pray.
Oh,
oh, oh, Lord, I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Oh, I need your power to guide me. Oh, I need your spirit to guide me. Fill me, my Lord. I pray. Oh, Lord, I'm just a man, I'm just a man. Oh, I need your power to guide me. Oh, I need your spirit to guide me. Fill me, my Lord.
Come on, brothers.
Oh, Lord, I'm just a man.
Hey,
I'm just a man. Oh, I need your power to guide me. Oh, I need your spirit to guide me. fill me, my Lord, I pray. Oh, Lord, I'm just a man. I'm just a man. Oh, I need your power to guide me. Oh, I need your spirit to guide me. Fill me, my Lord, I pray. 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 Amen. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace. When fears are stilled, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. The ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry till final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ. Till he returns, till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning, Gateway. We find it convenient to partake in the Lord's Supper. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, please? I'll just read three verses, verses 23, 24, 25, and 26. I'll wait for you to turn there, 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23 to 26, I read, "The Lord Jesus, Paul writing, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Twice Jesus said, "Do this in my remembrance." I want us to sit with that for a while. Communion is about Jesus. It's not about me. Neither is it about you. It's not a remembrance of a moment or a feeling. It's a remembrance of the one whose body was broken for you and I, whose blood was poured out for our salvation. In Scripture, the word "remember" means both mental recall and action. When God remembered Noah, he did something. He started drying up the flood. So in Scripture, here it means to return, to yield, to be shaped again by God's truth. Not man's truth, God's truth. Communion is Jesus saying to us this morning, every Sunday, "Let my self-sacrifice define you. Let my cross teach you who I have made you." Paul says communion, the act of eating the bread and drinking the cup, he says that act is us proclaiming the death of Jesus until he comes. It's a silent proclamation. So the fact that you're eating this morning and drinking, we're all proclaiming that Jesus died. And he says, until he comes. So his coming again is our hope. We do this proclamation without the microphone, without a sermon, without spotlighting self. The cross is our story. Your story and my story. The Lamb is our King, and his return is our hope. In a noisy world of I, me, and myself, communion trains us in quiet faithfulness to Jesus Christ. In a self-promoting world and culture, communion forms us into cross-shaped witnesses. In an age of spiritual forgetfulness, I call it spiritual amnesia, it calls us back again and again every Sunday as we take it. Remember, as you take it, you're proclaiming silently that Jesus died. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for the joy that was set before you, that you hung on the cross. You were crucified publicly on a hill. And the sword was put on your side with water and blood flowing out, confirming that you were dead. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for redeeming us. Thank you for bringing us back to God. and giving us peace. As we eat the bread and drink the cup, we proclaim in our hearts and with our lives that you died. God, your coming again is our hope, is our living hope. Help us, help our faith not to fail. We love you, we praise you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andu. Appreciate that, brother. This summer, in our team ministry, we just wrapped up our summer series a couple weeks ago that we've been doing at our Friday Real Talks. Our theme this summer was Compelled by Christ's Love. And we were in just basically out of the same passage the whole summer, 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 21. So I'm going to read that for us this morning here. It says, that's verse 11. Here we go. Verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us because we've concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And we went through this passage really verse by verse, line by line with the teens, and really dissected it this summer. And some of the things that we really hit on are the fact that we're a new creation, right? We no longer are what we once were when we've been baptized, when we've become a part of Christ's family, right? You know, we're meant to live not for ourselves, but for Christ and for others. We ought to be others-focused. We ought to focus our lives on the people around us and not just ourselves. And that we're ambassadors of Christ, right? We're representatives of him. We demonstrate in our lives what Jesus would do and what he would value and how he would live, right? And we may not immediately equate this passage with one about offering our contribution, right? But I think what it tells us is that everything about ourselves, what we practice, our habits, our values, our day-to-day life, it has to change and become new when you're in Christ. And I think this mindset applies to the way we treat and view our money as well. You know, our money, it's meant to be put to work, right? It's meant to be put to work for the sake of others, for the mission of Christ, and in a way that sets a Christ-like example to those around us. And man, I love this passage when I think about this concept in Acts chapter 4. In verse 32, it says this, it says, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them, and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. Thus Joseph, who was also called by the apostles Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, a Levite, a native of Cyprus, sold a field that belonged to him and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." And I just think about the example that the early church set to the world around them, right? Who are these people that are selling their fields so that these other people can live and have enough to eat, right? You know, the way that we use and spend our money is a way in which we can be an ambassador of Christ to those in our lives. And our contributions to the church are a part of that, right? And I had Kathy pull these numbers for me. These are at least good as of the first half of this year. But we have a benevolence committee here at Gateway Church, Gateway City Church. And one of the things that we do is anybody in the church or a part of our community can request benevolence from our church. And we, as of the end of June, beginning of July, have given benevolence to over 20 families in excess of over $10,000 of benevolence. Like, we have been able to be a blessing to those in need in our community. You know, we have special missions every year that we use to bless churches in other parts of the world and other areas around the heartland. And our goal this year was 160,000. We met it again. I think we hit about 162 this year, which is awesome. You know, these are things I think that are ways that the way that we give our money can make an impact and can be an ambassador for Christ, right? You know, we give obviously because God first gave to us, right? Everything that we own belongs to him. We know this. But we should also give because God wants us to be generous. He wants us to use the resources that he's given us to bless others. He values that. And I think that we should also value that as new creations and ambassadors of Christ. Amen? Amen. I'm going to say a prayer here for our offering. Heavenly Father, God, thank you so much for this morning. God, I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for how generous this church is, God. We have just a congregation full of people who are willing to give of themselves for the benefit of others, God. And that's all because of you. It's all because of you and the way that you held nothing back from us, even as you gave your son for us, God. You are a sacrificial God. You are a generous God, Father. And we pray that in the way that we live our lives, God, that we can represent that to the people around us, Father. We love you so much. Thank you for this opportunity to give. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, the trays are being passed. Good morning, everybody. We're so glad you made it here on this rainy Sunday morning. I was hoping that it would cool things down, but I just got a weather alert saying that we're going to be in the triple digits. So, but it is nice and cool in here, and we're glad you made it into the nice and cozy fellowship. My name's Kathy, and I am the Communications Director of Gateway City Church, and it is my honor and joy to read you the Sunday announcements. So we have coming up, buckle up, because we got a lot of stuff on the plate. Fall's always very, very busy for Gateway. First of all, this coming Wednesday here, we have Women's Midweek. So ladies, we'll see you back here in a few days. And then going forward on the 29th, we have our congregational greenhouse meeting. That's going to take place from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. again here. Leaders, you know who you are. We're going to feed you lunch, and there'll be a time of teaching. It'll be fantastic. So please come and join us. We also have, going forward, our Mexican luncheon for our mature singles on Sunday, August 23rd, so 1 week from today at 12:15. Please bring a dish, and it'll be delicious. If you have questions, Felicia Rogers is right there. You can go see her after church today, but this is for all mature singles. We would love to see you there. Let's see, what else? We have, coming up, we have our... Oh, Cardinals outing. Okay, so new update. They've added a giveaway. Can we have that up on the stage, please? Yes. Parents, if you know, you know. These are crazy. Okay, 10 years ago, we had fidget spinners. This in 2026, we have squishy dumplings. And for the first, I think it's 10,000 kids, age 15 and under. Connor, you are 15. If your kid is under 15, they can get a free squishy dumpling, and randomly will be distributed, and they do have the elusive glitter dumplings. So, yes. So now you have a reason to get there as fast as you can. And if you haven't already gotten your tickets, we also only have about 60 left. So if you have not yet signed up, and your kid finds out that they could have gotten a glitter dumpling, but you didn't sign up, parents, sign up now. Tickets are $14 each. Includes a hot dog and soda, kids' sundae, ice cream for the kids, and you get to burn the bases post-game. Plus, you get a fabulous dumpling style to be yet to be determined. Please register. Get yourselves registered now. Sometime this week, I will be turning on the single tick account because we want to make sure we don't oversell. So if you, later this week, if you go in and you try to register and only allows you to get one ticket, you'll just need to do as many as you need. Once they're all completely sold out, it'll be closed. And at that point, I have to say, I'm sorry, but we've sold them all. So, okay, so that's enough about Cardinals. That'll be September 13th at 1:15 p.m. And yes, dress in Cardinals gear, of course, that day. We have our Gateway camping trip coming up on Labor Day weekend, August 4th through August 6th at Bass River Resort. Oh, September. Yes, you're right. September 4th through 6th, Labor Day weekend. If you have not yet registered for that, you need to call Bass River. Can we have the slide up for that, please? The phone number for that is 800-392-3700, and not that one. But we are going to talk about that. So if you have not yet registered, you can call them and get yourself registered. There's no form or anything you need to fill out. Just call Bass River Resort. And now we talk about the men's retreat, September 26th and 27th. Registration is open now. And the registration fee is $65 for adults. Students in grades 7 through college is only $50. It includes Saturday dinner, devotional on Sunday, worship breakfast on Sunday as well as times of hiking, bonfire. It's going to be amazing. So men, get registered. Cabins are $199 per night, regardless of occupancy. And you can arrange your own roommates by calling 618-786-2331. I know that phone number. I said it really fast, but check your weekly email. It's in there too. Or you can also see Brian Gross. Where's Brian? He's around. I saw him a minute ago. But see Brian Gross after church if you have any questions. And finally, we have an outreach opportunity coming up. We're going to be participating in community event Echoes of Africa on October 24th from 12 noon to 6 p.m. at St. Louis University. This is a community event. Gateway is not sponsoring, but we are participating. We've booked a table, and we're going to be doing some outreach actually at the event. If you have questions about this, you can see Endu after church, and you can also scan the QR code to get registered and book your time. So I think that is it. I have covered everything. So now I'm going to turn the microphone back over to Alex.
Thank you, Kathy. Amen. One other thing about this Sunday is this is actually the last Sunday for our teen interns, King and Phoenix. So I'm going to have you guys come on up on stage. You know, every crop of interns is different, brings something different to the table. We appreciate them nonetheless for everything they do. But this, I feel like King and Phoenix, I feel like you guys, I just have... You work so hard. I feel like that's the big takeaway I have from our time together this summer is I've just been impressed by your work ethic and just your willingness to just dive into the teen ministry, just dig in. And King, obviously coming from just not really knowing anybody to now at the end of the summer, I think all the guys just love him and he's really endeared himself to the guys and to the families. And so, but I just appreciate you guys so much. I think Phoenix, I feel like I've seen so much just resilience and perseverance in you this summer. I think, you know, things haven't always gone according to plan. I think there's been some things that you've tried and you've had to like kind of go back to the drawing board, but you've never given up, and your spirit has always been one of, I'm going to see what I can do. I want to help these girls, and I'm going to do everything that I can to do that. And I've just been so impressed by that and your character. And King, I feel like I've really appreciated the way that you just really stepped in and led. You didn't come in nervous. I felt like you came in just ready to lead. And even just the way that you handled yourself in Bible studies, asking just really great questions, not shying away from the tough passages and the challenges. I feel like I really was impressed by the way that you just really inserted yourself and asserted yourself, really. And so I appreciate you guys so much. I have many more words to share. We've shared a few times already, and we'll share again. I just wanted to encourage you guys a little bit, but I wanted to give you guys an opportunity to share with the church just some of the things that you've appreciated and taken away from the summer as well. So,
okay, he only gave me about 1 or 2 minutes, so I got to make this kind of quick. But, y'all, I just got to say thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone here at Gateway City Church. Like Alex said, I'm coming from Lawrence, Kansas, and I didn't know who said that. I'm gonna find you after service. But I came in not knowing anybody, but y'all made me feel so welcome. I feel like I've been a part of this fellowship for years now, like I got converted here, and for that I thank you. To everybody who housed me, Nick and Tali, the Ryans, especially the Kirchers, I've been at their house the longest, thank you for your hospitality, putting a roof over my head. Thank you for all the meals that you're providing me. Thank you for the good friendships that I've been able to just make and establish here. This is not the last time I'm going to be in St. Louis. Believe that. I love y'all and I appreciate y'all. It's been a pleasure.
Good morning, church. I actually wrote something down. So this morning, it would have been really easy to just take credit for all that's been done this summer. The hours, the text messages, the calls, the lessons I made, the conversations had, and all the gas and miles I put on my car. But when I really was able to reflect, I know that what made an actual impact was God. The ministry, it wasn't me or King, and so God has taught me a lot this summer. He's shown me that I need to work on patience, be more humble, and understand the importance of rest. He's taught me the value of communication, and perhaps most importantly, how crucial it is to remain curious about the people around me. This summer has truly been transforming in so many ways, And as I reflect on these past couple of months, some of my favorite moments have been the simple ones, asking questions, having convos, and being intentional about getting to know the girls. Those moments reminded me that the ministry isn't just about planning events or teaching lessons. It's about loving people and genuinely caring about who they are. Watching the girls' curiosity for God grow, seeing their convictions build, even when they weren't aware that it was conviction, it's been really faith-building. Seeing God work in their hearts and watching them grow in their desire to know him has reminded me just how powerful he is and how grateful I am to be able to witness it. I'm so grateful that God allowed me to have this opportunity, from being baptized in the teen ministry to working alongside the people who were helped me get to that point. It really has been an incredible experience. I'm so grateful to the church for being so supportive, encouraging, and welcoming to me these past couple of months. And while it isn't farewell, I do live here, go to school here. I'll see you guys next week. I really am going to miss being a part of the ministry. This summer has been such a gift, and I'll forever be grateful for the people, lessons, and the growth, and most of all, the God who made it possible.
Amen. If you were thinking while King was sharing, man, he is looking dapper this morning. King is actually preaching the word this morning. So he'll be back up here. But before that, we have one more song. So I'll invite the worship team back up. If you guys want to stand up, we're going to sing He Reigns.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they just heard, 'cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. And all the powers of darkness tremble at what they just heard. 'Cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, He reigns, He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns.
Okay, just the voices.
It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. Hallelujah, he reigns.
Amen.
Man, they done messed up letting me up here, I'll tell you that. I hope you're prepared for a 3-hour-long sermon on why KU is the best ministry in all the heartland. Man, well, all seriousness, y'all, I want to thank you guys for just this opportunity. I'm incredibly grateful to be able to be here right now with the great privilege to preach the word. If you have not met me, my name is King Smith. I am the teen intern this summer, and it's been an amazing summer. I've been incredibly grateful to get to know every single one of my guys, to work alongside Phoenix, to work under the Bryants and their leadership. And if you couldn't tell as well, I am a senior at the University of Kansas. Can I get a rock chalk? Ah, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. But again, y'all, I just want to reiterate that I am so grateful for this opportunity to be here. It is my first sermon, so hopefully I don't preach any heresy. So now that I've set the bar low, you know, let me try. I've set the expectations, right? So can't be that bad. I can only go up from here. Amen. If you weren't here last Sunday, Ron preached an awesome word on building bridges. Now, thankfully, it wasn't just a biblical perspective on architecture. Thank God. My little business major brain could not handle that if it was. The lesson he taught was how we can go about building stronger, deeper, Christ-centered relationships. I think at the heart, it was all about helping us to engage more deeply with the fellowship. I'm glad that that was the preaching last Sunday, because my aim for my sermon today is for us to dive even deeper into that fellowship that we have access to by the grace of God. Before I get too much deeper into it, I would just like to pray over the sermon real quick, if y'all wouldn't mind bowing your heads with me. Dear Heavenly Father God, Lord God, I just want to thank you so much for allowing us to be here, God. Thank you, Lord, for this another day of life, God. Lord, I want to thank you for the food in our stomach, clothes on our back, Lord, and the roof of our head. And Lord, I just pray that we can have open hearts with this message, God. I just pray that your spirit is just working through this room, working through me. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we can just grow a deeper appreciation and a deeper convictions when it comes to meeting with the body, God. I pray this all in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick warning, a lot of times through my sermon, I'll be using the term body of Christ. If you're unaware, that's simply just another biblical term referring to the fellowship of believers, like your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, my favorite part of being here in St. Louis has undoubtedly been the fellowship. It's been a blessing to experience the different church culture from here, from KU. and to meet so many awesome men and women of God, so many teens, and just the people of St. Louis in general. Even though y'all could be a little mean sometimes, y'all good people. Y'all good people. From hearing all the teen jokes about Alex's bald head, to eating so enough of Miss Kiebers and Jetta to feed a small family, I've been incredibly grateful to have connected with so many awesome men and women of God. I'm sure we have all have some great memories that come from having that, you know, that good fellowship. That fellowship that gets your stomach sore from laughing too hard. And on the other side, when you're just with your friends, close friends, y'all sit together, y'all cry together, and y'all pray together, get through those hard times. If you had a good group of fellow believers around you, I'm sure you have felt how strengthening it is for your faith. But there can be often periods in time in which we can push the fellowship to the side. You know, for myself, I can often struggle with feeling like, do I even fit in? Doubting if anyone in the church really does care for me on a deeper level. Feeling like I can put myself out there, but I don't see much in return, you could say. And I can let the worries and business of life really bog me down and really distract me and make me disregard the fellowship. The church at the time in the book of Hebrews, I believe they felt a similar pressure as well to forsake the fellowship. They were facing persecution from every angle. You know, the brothers of their old faith were persecuting and isolating and shunning the Jewish Christians. And the Roman government was imprisoning them. All the while, they were struggling with their own doubts if Jesus was truly the Messiah, if he was truly the Savior, if he was really the way. All these factors had caused them to miss out on the meanings of the body in hopes of avoiding being persecuted, being associated with being a Christian. Now, thankfully, thank the Lord, we don't live in the same era and we don't suffer the same persecutions. But like I said, for myself, I can still feel that pressure to not fellowship when life gets crazy. When I start getting swamped with school, there's family drama, I'm struggling financially, it can be so easy for me to turn my focus inward and not hold on tightly to the body of Christ. What I've learned, church, is that this cannot be so. Even in the face of trials and tribulations, we must continue pressing on together. That's why the title of my sermon today is Fellowship to the End. Please turn your Bibles to Hebrews 10. We'll be reading verses 23 through 25. As we flip there, I just want to let y'all know I will be reading from the New King James Version. So, to help explain that, okay, the first church I went to was actually a small Nigerian church in Dallas. There's my friend, his family ran it, so he invited me out. And they all read in New King James, and the first Bible they gave me was New King James Version. Then my dad gave me his Bible, and that so happened to be a New King James Version Bible. And so that's why I stick with New King James. I get persecuted for that in Lawrence for some reason. I don't know why. All right, so starting in verse 23, and it reads, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I've always found it convicting that in response to the persecution the church was facing, the writer of Hebrews decided to emphasize the importance of fellowship. Today, I have 3 points for us that all really build up upon one another that will help us to continue devotedly to fellowshipping with one another. Throughout this sermon, I will be saying together and one another a lot, so you get a prize if you can tally up how many times I say it. All right, point number one. Do not give up meeting together. Now, I have a strong conviction that the writer of Hebrews makes the standard clear that meeting with our brothers and sisters must be of the utmost priority. But how often can we make excuses that stop us from meeting together? I had an interview and I couldn't make it a small group. I had to go to my professor's office hours to study for my exam. My kid had their sports game Sunday morning. I feel awkward and out of place in the fellowship. It's not an activity I enjoy. I would rather not go and do something else. Though I'm young myself, I've begun to understand that life is full of hustle and bustle. Man, I be moving and grooving. About 15 credit hours, 30 hours job, clubs outside of there. Man. And in my mind, I can worry about working enough at my job to pay my bills, to pay off my balance for school so I can go to school next semester so they can keep taking my money so I can get this piece of paper. It's important to get educated. I don't want to downplay that. You know, but not only just make it through school, but have a standard of excellence. You know, be an A student. Make these connections. Get these resources so I can be the best professional I can be. But in the midst of all that, there have been times where I've skipped a Bible talk. There's been nights where I'm staying up, taking care of tasks, and it's a Saturday night, and I end up missing church because I overslept. But in Acts 2, God shows us a beautiful picture of the church. A beautiful picture. I love this passage so much. In verses 41 through 47, it says, the disciples were devoted to fellowshipping with one another. They were together, and they provided for each other, and they loved one another. They spent their lives and their days together. Sharing meals and growing closer to Christ together. And what do we see? God was moving people. He was moving through the love they showed one another, through their devotion to meeting together. The Lord was saving souls. The kingdom was advancing. And not only that, he was bringing joy and peace to all those who were numbered among them. Church, the command goes deeper than just making it to the church events. That is just the start. That's the minimum. There shouldn't be anything stopping us from living our life together, from sharing our burdens and talking with one another, serving one another and worshiping God together, not just at events, but daily. No other job, no other group of friends, no insecurities, and no other responsibilities should make us forsake meeting with the body. You know, I love my college, if y'all couldn't tell. I love my campus ministry, but I'd be lying if I said I don't get jumping up and down when I'm able to go back home to Texas. If you didn't know, I'm originally from Kansas City. I was born in Kansas City, Kansas, but me and my family moved to Dallas, Texas in 2014, so that's where most of the time my mom and my daddy and my sister are and everything. You know, I'm able to sleep in my own bed, back in my old room. I mean up all the food in the house. Oh, and real quick, and he's actually, oh, that's for later. He's actually a picture of my family. My family is actually watching right now, so that's me on the left. That's my sister, Cameron. She's actually a chef, and she has her own catering business. So I be eating good. And then that's my mama right there. Her name's Kanique. Cameron learned everything from the start from her, so double down, I be eating good. And then that's my dad. His name's Jerron. You know, and I also have an older brother, too. We haven't had a family photo with him in a while. But don't worry, he's my favorite, so don't worry. His name's Jay. I love him, though. But, you know, I got my partners back at home as well from high school who I hang out with, and I've known longer than anyone else. And I love my hometown friends. They've held it down, and they've been with me through my awkward years in middle school, through my goofy years in high school. And our friendship even thrived in our distance from each other when I went to college. And I love to spend time with them. But to be honest, I think I can spend more time with them than with the believers in the church down there. You know, and I would still go to the weekly midweeks, to the devotionals, to church on Sunday, of course. I'd even be early, stay there, fellowship a little bit afterwards. But getting into a small group discipling was rare. I rarely met up. And personal one-on-one time with some of the brothers there, even more rare, non-existent sometimes. So when me and my family got into a fight, and I fell short of the standard of Christ in honoring my parents, honoring my sister, I dealt with it alone. And when I felt shame and I lacked confidence and I was beating myself up in my thoughts, I didn't have my brothers around to encourage me. When I wrestled with temptations to be impure and to smoke and to drink, there was no one around to keep me accountable. And eventually, multiple times, I had backslid and fell into my sin. I began to rely on substances and impurity for joy and satisfaction instead of God. I became lazy and idle, totally giving in to my comforts, making myself my own God. You know, it got to a point if I was questioning if I even really wanted to follow God. There was multiple times back home where I slipped back and I almost fell away. There was truly a spiritual battle going on for my soul, and I was on the losing side. Though I was equipped with the sword, which was the word, and trying to stay dedicated to prayer, I didn't have my brothers in my faith to fight with me. After all, 2 Timothy 2, 3-4 calls us soldiers for Christ. What type of soldier do you know goes into battle alone? Unless you're Rambo. Now, for those who don't know good movie tape, this is Rambo. He was one cold dude, man. He would go into war solo, dolo, and just take care of the whole situation. This was a man who could go into war alone, you know. But I'm not Rambo. I'm far from a prime Sylvester Stallone. Hey, but give me like another 2 years. You know, I'm in the gym. You know, I'm gonna get there, man. I ain't hit my prime yet. I ain't at my peak. And even though Jesus, the only person who really could have fought this spiritual battle alone, who could have been like Rambo, he chose not to. What did he do? He chose 12 disciples to live with him, to learn from him, to be around him at all times, to aid him in his ministry. I believe one of the many reasons he did this was to set an example for us and how we should walk in our faith. So I had to learn that no matter how much I felt like a bad mama jamma, I was not Jesus. I was not Rambo. I need to walk closely with the body of Christ to fight the good fight. On top of all that, I've been going through the book of Philippians lately, and it's been encouraging to see Paul's heart towards his fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm going to shoot a lot of verses here, so just see if you can catch them. Philippians 4:1, he says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." Chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel." From chapter 1 again, verse 8, "For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." That's some strong language coming from Paul. He sounded like a teenager with his first love right there. Just from these couple of verses, we can see Paul's heart to give to his fellow believers. They were his joy. If he had his way, he wouldn't be away from the body of Christ for a single day. He loved his brothers and sisters, and it would be far-fetched to say that he found it a burden to meet with them, because he realized a simple truth. He can't take nothing to heaven with him except for the people around him. Church, has me with the body become a burden and not our joy? In the family of God, have we become that moody little kid who you got to pull teeth to get out the room and bring to the events, the family functions, instead of being that longing father who can't wait to be reunited? Now, church, I do want to say, like, there is wisdom in this. Things do come up. Sometimes we do get double booked with appointments. But are we fighting for the body when that happens? Are we saying, hey, can we move this to any possible time? Can we hang out before or after midweek or church? Can I plan my schedule around the body? Am I making time for others? I just want to say, ask ourselves those questions, because, of course, there's wisdom, but we can fight for the body. Amen, church? Point number two, consider and encourage one another. After making sure we're devoted to being physically present and checking in with other believers, now we have to make sure we're mentally checked in as well with others. I want to look at the Greek word used for consider in the passage. Now please bear with me here. It's the word katanoeo. Oh, Lord. Now you can define that word as to consider attentively, and also to fix one's eyes or mind upon a subject. We're not just called to be physically present, with our other believers, but we're called to have our minds on others, on their wants and needs, on what's going on in their lives. At certain times, I can go out to campus devotional and just be so wrapped up in myself, whether I'm feeling extra tired that day, I'm feeling out of place, or just distracted with my life's duties. I can show up, but I cannot really be there. I can hang out for 2 whole hours, but not engage with anybody there. No, I can hear the message. I can chime in for the small group, answer the questions, stand around for a little bit after the fellowship, you know, and just head out. Not really gained a single thing, not deepened a single relationship. But what I had to realize is that not only did God place me in the body of Christ so I can stay faithful, but so I may be of a service to other people's faith. The same is true for everyone else in this room. God has placed you here. He's given you certain knowledge and abilities. He's blessed you with your characteristics that will be instrumental, absolutely necessary to keeping someone here faithful. So when we miss out on meeting with the body, when we are focused inward and keeping to ourselves, we're not only depriving ourselves, but we're also depriving others of that much needed fellowship that is essential to our walk with the Lord. It doesn't need to be a thing that you need to put so much pressure on. I don't want you to think like when you're talking to somebody who's struggling, you need to be the one that gives them the word that causes the breakthrough. It doesn't always need to be that profound. But considering one another can be as simple as asking questions about how their day went, showing that you care. It could be complimenting someone and being warm and welcoming when you see that they're down. Considering one another, sometimes just be willing to listen and being a shoulder to cry on. And brothers, to the brothers here specifically, is doing that without immediately trying to fix the problem. That's just a little wisdom I learned in my short life. That'll help you out, I promise. Church, I would hate for us to underestimate the power and effect a small word of encouragement, a small demonstration of love, how much impact that could have on somebody. Because we never know what's fully going on in people's lives. And in my generation, you know, there's a big crisis with mental health. And growing up, I've heard a lot of stories how people have been permanently close to giving up on life. But it was a small gesture, a small word, a little bit of time that kept them pressing forward and hanging on. We can be the difference in other people continuing to press on toward Christ or falling away. Let's not be selfish. Let's not be inward focused. But let's consider one another. You know, I think a verse I really love is in Philippians 2, 1 through 4, and it talks about how we need to esteem others higher than ourselves, see them and their needs as more important, and tend to those needs. Now, when I think of some people who've truly gone above and beyond and living that out and have been so considerate, I have to lift up my current host family, the Kirchers. Over the course of this summer, they haven't just stopped the fellowship at allowing me into their home, and that would have been more than enough right there, honestly. And honestly, for me, too, you know, I can be a little bit of a loner. It was awesome living with Nick and Tyler. I barely even saw them. I was like, I was back in my own apartment back in Lawrence, my little one bedroom. But they didn't just stop there. They pulled me in and spent time with me, and they got to know me. They got to know my moods. And when they saw that I was down, they asked about me, and they inquired of me and checked in on me. If something even seemed a little bit off, they never let it be. They reached out their hand and showed me their generosity and their loving kindness. Especially while this summer I've been a struggle financially and just really having to rely on God to provide, and he provided through them, through their faith. They showed me that the body is awesome, and I'm grateful to be here. Even while preparing this sermon last night, they heard me cough once, and Miss Kim would go, "Oh, we need to get him vitamin C. We need to get him vitamin C. Hey, take some tea. Take some throat tea." Man, I ended up on the couch. I had a blanket all over me. I had a plate of roasted lamb on my plate, some tea. I was like, I like it here. I can get used to this. I told them I had some cooking to do. Miss Keeper helped me do that. You know, Brian been extorting me for some sweet potato pie. Where's Brian at? And they helped me get it done. They not only let me to be around them physically, but they considered me. They made sure I lacked nothing. They love me. Thank you. Y'all, my third point today is spur one another on. Now, once we've gone about considering one another, we'll undoubtedly have a more intimate knowledge of what's going on in our lives, in other people's lives, their needs, what's going on with their family, what's going on with their jobs, what's going on with school, their relationships, and most importantly, with their walk with God. And when we start to get that intimate knowledge, we'll inevitably see how they fall short of the standard of Christ. That's natural. We're all imperfect. And this is where we spur one another on. Does anyone know what a spur is? Show of hands. Okay. Now, believe it or not, the writer of Hebrews is not talking about the San Antonio Spurs basketball team. But if you lived in Texas or know anything about riding horses or cowboys, you'll know a spur is that little spike circle thing at the end of, on the back of the heel. And so what the cowboy would do, he would be on the horse, right? And then while he's riding, he would kick the back of his heel into the back of the horse. And that would prod the horse. And that would make him go and accelerate and, you know, get into motion and everything. And, you know, the cowboy would kick harder, get multiple kicks if he wanted to go faster or get a more, you know, more of a forceful reaction, you know, to go. Now, do y'all think that felt good to the horse? Nah, it didn't. But it was necessary, though. Just as it was necessary for us to spur on our brothers and sisters towards good works and repentance. Now, what I just said, I personally find to be really scary, to be honest. You know, I can overthink a lot that the correction or the advice I'm about to give will hurt the relationship. I can think that that person will think about me differently. And I'm naturally an easygoing person. I'm honestly a conflict avoidant. I hate making people upset. But again, it's those thoughts centered on myself. Appreciate it, Alex. That's a good boss right there. That's a good boss. That's consideration. It's those thoughts centered on myself that stop me from honoring God. But that changes when I focus on the bigger picture. What will it mean for that brother who is sinning, but I don't hold accountable? What will that mean for his eternity? What will it mean for my ministry and all the lost souls outside this building if we aren't sharing our faith and I keep those thoughts to myself? What will it mean for this person's convictions in their faith down the line if they're habitually missing meeting with one another? And I don't invite them into the fellowship. I don't say nothing to them about it. When I have to face God and give an account for all I did, will he ask me why I didn't speak up and spur them on? I don't want to take that chance. Reading from verse 24 of our passage, love and good works don't just happen. It takes people meeting with one another, considering one another, and spurring one another on to bear fruit of repentance, to go out and advance the kingdom, to be the lights and the salts of the earth that we were called to be. Spurring on our brothers and sisters is really one of the most loving things we can do. You know, I really have to shout out Ron for being a brother who will spur you on. Now, if you know me, I love my sleep. My teams will tell you I'm usually the first to get knocked out at a teen event. I did not need the side comments. No, if I haven't gotten my beauty sleep, I'm not functioning right. You know, my parents are watching right now, and they know I need my sleep. I need my sleep. You know, I can be moody, I'm sluggish, and worst of all, it takes me twice as long to get up and moving out of bed when I've gotten anything less than 8 hours. You know, over the summer, I had the goal of going to bed before 11 and waking up at 6 a.m., you know, just to make good use of my time. Safe to say, I did not do that. At best, I would go to sleep around 12, 1, just trying to fit so much into my day, and I end up just staying up long, trying to do stuff, getting late night quiet time, or maybe just on the game sometimes. Sometimes. And I just try to grit my way out of bed at 6 a.m. But that'll usually just end up me sleeping through or snoozing my alarms. And procrastinating getting out of bed. It's bad, I admit. Now, this had caused me to be in the habit of being consistently late to Monday appointments, whether that be my trainings with the Bryants or staff meetings. One time, I showed the staff meeting 15 minutes past. And after, Ron had to pull me aside and told me that can't happen anymore. He heard me saying how after school, I want to be a financial advisor. I study finance. I was just thinking, hey, I want to make money after school. I should probably understand how money works. That made sense to me. You know, money's stressful, you know, so I want to help people out with that. And he heard me talking about that. And basically, he said, how is anyone going to trust you with their money if you can't steward your time? That's basically what he said. I ain't going to lie. I didn't want to be there in that moment. I didn't want to hear none of that. You know what? And I'm sure Ron didn't want to tell me that either. I'm sure he didn't want to pull me to the side, have this serious conversation, have this great staff meeting, and say, hey, bro, tighten up. You know, I'm sure he didn't want to do that. Y'all know Ron. But you know what? After that, I say that in the latter half, it hasn't been perfect, but my punctuality has been better. Now, that was an uncomfortable thing to tell me, but in that moment, Ron put aside his own personal feelings so I could be a better man of God, so I can be a better leader, and so I can be more effective. So shout out Ron, man. And to clarify, you know, we speak the truth, but we do so in love. We do so with a humble heart, knowing that we're all messed up, imperfect people. So we spur on and correct and give advice, not by putting anyone down or by putting ourselves above anyone else, but by bringing it back to the foot of the cross. And on the receiving end, let's be humble and take joy in being spurred on. Proverbs 12:1, if you hate correction, you're stupid. I love that verse. It's just so short, plain, and straight like that. I love that. Then Hebrews 12:3-11. Discipline is for our own good. It brings us closer to God. So let's embrace it. Let's build a church culture and spurring each other on can be a common and a healthy thing. Where good works are multiplied. Amen. Now, I want us to ask ourselves a couple of questions to kind of reflect on going forward after this sermon so we can continually kind of check our hearts where we're at with fellowship. Have I watered down the standard of being in one another's lives? Have I been considerate of the body? How can I lovingly spur on my brothers and sisters? Church, I fear that we'll hear this sermon and we'll only take it as rules and guidelines to follow and we'll lose the heart. Church, in verse 23 of our passage, it read, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. When we confess to the world, when we were over in that trough and we dipped our head in that water, we told the world that despite the trials, despite our flesh, we're going to surrender our entire lives to Jesus and be his disciples. And he said he'll send his spirit to be with us always. And when we finish our race, we'll be welcome into his kingdom. And we've decided to put our trust in this hope because he himself has proven to be faithful. He has been a keeper of his word. So church, let's continue to hold fast this hope that we confess or that we're trying to attain to. Let's build the church Jesus envisioned. Let's build the church that Jesus died for. Even when it's difficult, let's not forsake meeting together. Let's consider one another, and let's spur one another on. Let's fellowship to the end. Thank you.